Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
This is Kevin calling from La Crescenta, California, kind of planning ahead for the future, thinking of establishing primary residence in a state with no state income tax.
And provides unbiased answers.
Good question, though. A good thought process, and always good to look forward. And I think there's only, what, 7 or 9 states that have no income tax?
Invest Talk. Over 42 million downloads and counting. Across America and around the world, your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, July 12th, 2022. I'm Steve Peasley. I look forward to doing this podcast every day with you, talking to you about all your financial investment questions that you might have. And I always am pretty careful, very careful actually, to give straight unbiased answers. As you know, that's what we tell you every day. And you can test us. You can test whether we do it or not. You can go look up the information we give you and decide for yourself. I'm all for teaching you how to do it, not necessarily doing it for you. You can do it. We don't have any hidden agenda here. We don't. We want to help you. And of course, we want to market ourselves. I'm not saying we don't want to do that too, but we will help you if you want to learn how to do this. And I do think everybody should learn how investments work in the stock market. Because once you learn it, then you won't be surprised by something happening. You know, you won't be surprised because the market can be very volatile, up and down. Volatile up too. Don't think it's all down. It's not. It's mostly up. Over a long period of time, the volatility is on the upside. But we're going to help you decide what's going on today, what the environment we're in right now, what's going on, and how does that affect my investments, and what should I do about it, if anything. I can say for sure, today's investment is very different than it used to be. I've said this many times now. It's not the same. You have to realize you're dealing with something different. And that something different is higher inflation, higher interest rates. The higher interest rates is the more important, in my opinion, not inflation. Because I think inflation will be conquered. It'll either be conquered by us going into a recession, therefore prices are going to come down because demand is gone. Demand, that's what the Federal Reserve is trying to do, destroy demand. Have some destruction in the demand side of the supply and demand economic environment. Destroy some of that demand, reduce the pressure, and that will mean prices will come down, inflation will ease. On the other hand, I think we're going to deal with a higher inflation for some time. Anyways, before we get into the end of that, maybe we should go ahead and start taking a call here. We'd like to get right into the questions. So our number is the same, always the same, 888-99-CHART. So give me a call, and let's get right to our first question.
Hi, Steve. This is Siddharth from Charlotte, North Carolina. I would like to discuss a ticker symbol, KSS, which is Kohl's. Currently, it's down almost 50%. I think it's like a good bargain. Just want to understand the technical analysis, a good entry point. Answering the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Kohl's Corporation operates 1,165 family-oriented department stores in 49 states, offers apparel, footwear, and accessories, and, of course, it's very cyclical, right? Very cyclical, and the economic cycle is pointing downward at this point, at least softening at the very least, so this stock should do poorly. in this environment, and it has. It was starting around $60 not that long ago, a month or two ago. Today is at $28.95. So your question is this a good enough bargain? I will say that it's probably not the good time to get into Kohl's. KSS is the symbol. Not a good time to get into it. I would wait till the depths of the recession shows up. We haven't seen it yet, I don't think. I mean, it could be, but I don't think so. We're going to get what? In a few weeks, we'll get the first look at the second quarter GDP. And if it's negative, then that means we're officially in a recession. Okay? But Kohl's is going to make $4.82 next year. It made $7.33 this year, because this year they've already closed their annual, you know, the middle of the year. And it's going to make $4.82 next year and $5.32 the year after. So earnings are going down. They've already anticipated the recession. So $5.32 on a $28.98 stock, a 95-cent stock, is pretty low, right? I mean, so what, five, six PE, somewhere in there? That's pretty low. A five-year range is 4 to 44. Return on equity is 22, which is very good. They don't have a ton of debt, and they're paying a 6.9% dividend. So I don't know if they can keep up that dividend. Let's see, $29 stock, $5 in earnings, 7% of 29. They should be able to keep up that dividend. So if you buy it for the dividend and it's a good, well-run company, then you can go ahead and take your chances. But I wouldn't do it. I think you're early. I just think you're early. Okay. My focus point today is based on the story behind the headline, oil has dropped. And where it goes next is key to inflation. I've said this before. Now, there's an article out there about it, you know, probably several, and I'm going to talk about this particular article. So the energy industry analysts and investment banks are split when it comes to the path of oil. Is it going to go up or going to go down? No one's consistent. That's interesting. I mean, there's two sides to the coin, either up or down, not staying where it is. Kind of interesting. So we'll have time for that. I have other topics, too, I want to talk about. How about tomorrow we're going to get some CPI numbers. Tomorrow, inflation numbers, consumer price index. The day after is the producer price index. But we're going to I want to talk about what the numbers are supposed to be. Home sales are falling fast. We've been talking off and on about the weakening housing market. I got some stats I'm going to share. And oil fell down to $95 a barrel today. Remember, it was $124, now it's $95. Will inflation stick around? A Pepsi CEO thinks it is. What does he blame? He blames specific industries. So we're going to talk about that. Those are the things we'll discuss, but of course you come first, right? You will always come first. My trivia question today, it comes at the halfway mark of the show, is about your credit score. You need a decent score to save money on loans. That's coming up at the halfway point. We'll talk about that, halfway point of the podcast. But what do you guys want to talk about? The market itself was down today. 193 for the Dow, 108 for the NASDAQ, and 36 for the S&P. So we had an up week last week, and so far this week it's down. Volatility. Still dealing with it. We're going to deal with it all summer long. And, of course, we've said, Justin and I have been saying that for some time, that, you know, you're just going to have to get used to more volatility. And we're dealing with down volatility. We're in a bear market by definition. Bear market is 20% down from its high, and almost every index has done that. Or more. Then the growth part of the market is down more, way more. Like 33%, 34%. The value part of the market is down much less. It's not, if you discount value, you're not in a bear market. But, you know, the overall market, S&P 500, which is the way most experts look at the market, it's down to what, 21, 22%, something like that. So what do you guys want to talk about? You're listening to Invest Talk, because you know our goal of financial freedom. We always want that, right? We always, that's our goal. We got to get to that point where we feel personally, financially free in our retirement. So we'll talk about it. We're taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
Why do listener questions make InvestTalk better?
Which of these would you recommend?
Because each caller presents fresh questions in their voice.
I was curious if you still think aluminum has a ways to go from here.
When do I know the right time to take profits?
Should I be looking for an exit? Should I be holding here?
And listeners instinctively realize that InvestTalk uniquely offers a welcome dose of investing satisfaction.
I think you have a terrific show, and I've learned a whole lot.
Hey, guys, love your show. I've been listening for several years now, and I've learned a lot.
Justin Klein and Steve Peasley understand what investors need and want.
I would look at it from a tax perspective. If there's no tax implications, move on, find better ways to use that money.
I'm going with the odds. I think a half position now would at least get you in it and get you watching it so you won't lose track of it.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 Anytime Listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk about oil. Let's talk about the high price of oil, where it's going. Now, we know that the supply chain problems and the war in Ukraine and Russia, you know, that led to prices to pretty record highs in recent record anyway, to about $130, $125, $130 barrel. That was in March, right? And since then, the price has come down. Matter of fact, it's down more than this article says, because articles didn't take consideration today's fall. It was down 5%, 6% today. So it's now down about 18% or so, 19% from its high. Why we keep harping on oil? Why do we keep wanting to talk about oil? Because besides being in your car and you're using up gasoline, it affects the economy much wider than that. That's a major part, but it's not the only part of the effect in the economy. Okay? So don't think just because it's, you know, gasoline pumped in your car is the only thing that is really driving oil prices and what we use. It's not. We are oil dependent. We're moving toward the green energy with automobiles and solar panels on your house and all that stuff. But we're far, far, far from it. Far from it. So we're still dependent on oil. I mean, I think, petroleum products account for 36% of the U.S. energy consumption. 36%. Okay? And energy prices represent about 7.5% of the CPI that's going to be reported tomorrow. Okay? But oil has a multiplier effect because it's used in everything or a lot of different things. And therefore, if it rises or it shrinks, it affects inflation. So just because it's come down strongly recently, we have an outlook of inflation falling. But I don't think it's going to fall much. And when exactly is that going to reflect? I mean, you see how slow gasoline prices come down, right? So it's a pretty slow process. But it is coming down. Did you know that J.P. Morgan, one of their analysts, came out this week saying that they think the oil's going to $380 a barrel? Now, I think that's a little absurd at this point. And he's blaming Russia. If Russia decided to cut all its production, why would they do that? They still have customers called China and India. That's not going to happen. There is an effort to try to make Russian oil, just specific Russian oil, cap the price to $40, $60 a barrel. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to force that. It's just, some of the politicians just, I think they just don't think. And you can't get more oil from OPEC, Saudi Arabia, or all those countries. First of all, Saudi Arabia, they don't have the capacity. They're pumping as much as they can. They want that high price. They're pumping it. So don't think that's going to change. We, you know, we, demand destruction is what the Fed's trying to do. And so far, they've been unsuccessful because people are still out there driving their cars. People want to get out of the house. They've been cooped up with COVID in the last couple of years. They still want to get out and do stuff. And that means driving your car. So the demand hasn't been destroyed yet, despite the high prices. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. Okay? We're moving into a break. I'm here, and I'm here right now, live. So I'm taking your calls. Once you give me a call, we'll talk about it. You can interact with me if you want to. So call. This is Invest Talk, everybody. 888-99-CHART.
No two portfolios are alike, and every investor has a unique set of circumstances. So don't forget to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. It's Kevin from La Crescenta, California. You guys talked about REITs recently, which, you know, include a great variety of REITs out there. One I've been watching is DLR, Digital Realty Trust. I mean, it's fallen quite a bit and seems to have found some support around 120. Looks like it closed around 128 today. I'm wondering if you think that it's a good time to get into this stock. Look forward to hearing your answer on the show. Thank you again.
Okay, well, it dropped to 124.35 today. It's Digital Realty Trust, DLR is the symbol. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns and acquires and manages technology-related real estate in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. It's a $35 billion company, so it's pretty big. And they make money. They make good money. Now, remember, a REIT is required to be in real estate in some way. Okay, so this fits. And as a REIT, it's required to pay 90% of its earnings out in the form of a dividend to the shareholders. And if it qualifies for that, which this one does, obviously, then it will not have to pay income tax on the income to the company. You have to pay the tax when they pay you the dividend. Okay, this REIT pays 3.9% right now. It's $124 stock. They're going to make $6.95, almost $7 next year. Next year, $7 a share, right? So if it's what is 90% of 7? $6.30, right? And it's got to pay 90% in the dividend. So what's that $6 based on 124? What kind of percent return am I getting on the dividend? And it's about, you know, 4.5%, 4.75%, something like that. So that's what they should pay if they make the earnings they say they are. Remember, your REIT is all about the dividend. Can they pay it? Is it rising? That's all it is. You know, if, you know, is the stock too pricey? Not what it was, what, $180 or so a share, close to it? Way too expensive. Today it's 124. It's fallen from that high to in the beginning of the year to now, to 124. Is it a good time to buy it right now? I'd probably be patient with it. It doesn't have a lot of debt, which is good, or REIT. A huge cash flow, $11.62, which is very good. Fundamentally, it's a very strong company. It's a very strong company. So I do like it from that point of view, and it does seem to have found support, 121, 122 per share. It's at 124 now. So it's come down in recent few weeks from 139 down to 124, and it's done that before and bounced up from there. So let's see if it's – I would be patient because I want to see if it bounces up again. I mean, it shows that that's support. So that's a good thing. And it does – if you're patient, you'll be fine. Okay, but I don't like to buy what we call a falling knife. A stock is still falling. I want to see it has some strength. DLR, everybody. That's what that one is. Tomorrow, we're going to have inflation numbers, CPI. Month over month, it's supposed to be up 1.1%. That's up from 1% the month before, so just a tenth of a point more. They think it's going to rise. Year over year, it's supposed to be 8.8%, and they're going to. It was 8.6 as we reported last month. So year over year is going to be up. But what's interesting is the core inflation. Now, they strip out food and energy. They said that was 6% year over year last month, but this time coming up tomorrow is going to be 5.7. So they're saying non-core is still going to rise. Core, which excludes food and energy, is going to go down. So, but energy is the big driver of inflation right now. And can you exclude it from your life? Can you exclude food and energy from your life? No. So it does impact us, whether they want to count it or not. So it is kind of important. Why do they exclude food and energy? I mean, they say because it's really volatile, and they're trying to smooth out the rise or fall, you know, of inflation. Well, even if you smooth it out, you're still talking about inflation 5.7%, when inflation was 2%, 2.5% a year ago, year and a half ago. Pretty stiff inflation, no matter how you look at it. You know, home sales have been falling, and they've been falling fast. Have you noticed that? The sales of home. I'm not talking about the price. I'm talking about the sales. Sales for homes fell 14.9%. Okay? So that's of 60,000 homes purchased. Okay? And if they fell, they didn't go through. 14.9% of them didn't go through. So we're looking at a housing situation that's going to be difficult. 7% of the houses for sale have fallen in their offering price. Okay, so it's going to be a difficult thing because we're having, you know, that was a very strong part of our economy, homes. It's not anymore. It's one of the weaker parts now. Unless you have piles of cash before you make a large purchase on credit for a house or possibly a car, expensive car, you'll need to have a pretty decent credit score, right? You'll need it. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. Generally speaking, do you know the five factors used in setting up your credit score? How they set it? After the break, I will supply the answer. But for now, my phone line is open. I will encourage you to give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
You've got a portfolio to grow and protect, and this is no time to lose focus. So get your finance and investment questions together and call Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. They're ready with their unbiased answers. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I asked a trivia question. FICO, F-I-C-O, FICO originally Fair Isaac and Company, that's what it stands for, is a data analytics company based in San Jose, California, focused on credit scoring services. It was founded in 1956. Its FICO score is a measure of consumer credit risk, and it has become a fixture of consumer lending in the United States. So your FICO score is put up by a company. Okay, that's what they do. So FICO considers five factors in calculating your credit score. Then, and I'll put them in order of importance. One is payment history. That's 35% of your score, payment history. So make your payments on time and in full. Number two, amount owed. That makes up 30% of the score. So your credit utilization ratio, the ratio of the amount of credit you use and the amount you have extended. Try to keep it low. Number three, length of credit history. That's 15%. The longer you make payments and you've seen that you make payments, the more higher score you'll get. And you make them on time. Pay them in full. And then credit mix is 10%. What kind of credit you have, you know, credit card, house, you know, that thing kind of thing, any installment plans. And then new inquiries, 10%. Don't apply to too many lines of credit or credit cards, you know, in a short period at least. So now if you have a credit score of 800 or higher, that means you're pretty good risk. That's a very good number to have. Very good number. And, you know, that's your goal. You want a good credit score because you never know. If you want to sell your house or buy another one, you want to buy a car, you know, the higher the credit score is, the better off you'll be. It's as simple as that. And it's not like you have to do anything special. These are the rules. You don't have to follow them. You don't want to. You don't want to make your payments on time. You don't have to. You just get worse credit score. So don't do that, though. Let's go to Richard in Santa Clara. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, I'm calling in from actually Santa Clarita. I called a couple of days ago. But reason I'm calling, I'm looking at a stock. It's an Italian utility, Enel Spa. It's the symbol ENLAY. Mm-hmm. And it's invests in renewables, and it looks like it's all over the place besides Italy.
Right.
It has dropped, but according to TD Ameritrade, and this may be inaccurate because it's saying it pays a yield of 23.03%. That may be an error.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right
but,
to me.
I'm just wondering if this may be a good place, given this environment, a good buy and hold.
Well, it's a foreign stock. It's a foreign stock. I can tell by the Y on the end of any symbol, it usually means it's foreign. Therefore, it may or may not be traded on an exchange. And as I'm looking it up, it doesn't show up on our exchanges anywhere. So it's probably on the pink sheets. To me,
yeah,
they're just not on.
I purchased a little bit through TD Ameritrade, It went through. There was an ADR, there's an ADR fee for it. So it was purchasable. Just a little bit, but.
Well, it's not coming up on most of my pieces of software. If it's an ADR, everybody, that's called American Depository Receipt, meaning that one of the big banks in the United States has sponsored them to trade on our exchanges. Okay, but what's the name of the company? What's the name of the company?
It looks like it's Enel, E-N-E-L. So E-N is Nancy, E-L, and then S-P, and then capital A.
Yeah, I'll try that. P. Nope. Let's try a different way. Yeah, I'm not helping you very much, am I?
Yeah, it's all right.
So, ENELSP, ENEL, ENS, ENELS, it just doesn't come up on my pieces of software here. So I'm going to have to tell you I'm not going to be able to help you with it. I do like utilities at this time in the market, but, if it's an energy stock, I kind of like energy long term, and I can't answer the question on this particular stock. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's primarily looks like renewables versus fossil fuels.
I've noticed that Europe has turned away a little bit from renewables because they know they can't survive once Russia turns off the switch. So they had to wait a minute, we need to get back to some of our natural gas, oil, or coal, even though it's dirty, you just can't move all that fast. And I think that the world is trying to move so fast to the clean energy, which is, I don't have a problem with the move, but you got to make a proper transition. You can't just ignore, the oil and natural gas. You can't. It's still, the demand's still going up for those things. Anyways, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening, Richard. Okay. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Let's swing back to Invest Talk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier from Denmark.
Hello, Invest Talk. Yannick from Denmark asking about ticker symbol PEH. Makes the sells the Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein brands. The stock looks very undervalued, though I don't know much about the sportswear sector in the U.S., so I'd like to hear your opinion about this stock, maybe in comparison with its competitors, because it has a low PE and it pays a very low dividend. But I'm seriously considering buying this stock. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. It markets men's, women's, children's, dress shirts, sportswear, footwear, intimate apparel, swimwear, PVH Corporation is the name. They are a holder of various brand names. And it's a $57.08 stock. It's trading at the dish this coming year, not this year. It's 2022. It's made already $10.15 a share. Next year, it's going to make $8.97 a share. And the year after, $10.51 a share. So that makes it a 6 PE. Pretty low price. That is the low of its range. Okay. Return on equity is 15%, which is decent. Cash flow is very good at $15 a share. Debt is low. So all those things make this a pretty solid company. This is your worry. Why did it fall from 120 all the way down, just like the previous retail company we talked about? Because we're in this, where we are in the cycle, the economic cycle. You know, we're looking at a slowdown in the economic cycle, right? We're looking at possible recession. So retailers are usually suffer quite a bit. And so investors are already selling it. Now your question is, it looks pretty cheap now. Is it time to get back into it? And I'll tell you, I'll give you the same answer I gave the previous caller about a retailer. I think you just need to be patient. I think, yeah, it's pretty reasonable. It is pretty reasonable. But I'm not sure if we have seen the all the damage done in all these in the market yet. And I would like to see that. I think we've got some more damage to come, and we'll know this month and next month when we get those stats. So by September, I may be looking very hard at these kind of companies. Because now it might be earlier if I think that the damage, all the damage is going to incur, has it already occurred? A lot of it has. But I just don't want to be in a big rush to get back in the market right now. I do like this company. It looks pretty strong. Let's go to Inrash in Bay Area. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I really appreciate the call. I really do.
Yeah. So, Steve, I have a question regarding the energy sector. I see that the energy stocks have taken a good correction for the last week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. And I was actually looking to buy into a few stocks, but I just wanted to know, before, like, what's your outlook on the energy sector in the near future? Will they keep up the momentum, or are they done for the entire, all that we saw year-to-date highs? Are they done, or we still have something in the tank in the near future?
Okay.
That's one question. Another one is, I was actually looking for investing into an ETF to be on a safe side, like a VDE or an XLE, but they're pretty top-heavy. They're almost 40-50%. Yeah. Is into your ExxonMobil or the Chevrons. So I didn't want to really go with them. And I did my own research. I found Devon Energy, ticker symbol DVN, and Coterra Energy, ticker symbol CTRA. These to be like at a pretty good valuations at this point. So I wanted your opinion on which of these would make a better buy at this moment.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't look up all those stocks for you and answer your question that fast. If we're talking about energy, let's start there. Energy had a big run up, and then it gave a lot of, not a lot, it gave some of that run up back because oil prices fell from their high to what, $95 now. The question you're asking is energy stocks going to make another run? Because is energy still, oil still going to go up in price, or is it going to come off and stay low? And what's really interesting, you have two analysts I see are going both ways. One that came out said the oil was going to go to $350 a barrel. I don't think so, but that's what he said, and respect an analyst. Another one said it's going to go to $65. Come on, that's a huge gap. So those are the extremes. I feel that you should be buying energy on this dip that we're getting. Now, I don't know if it's one of the reasons is many of these companies, and you mentioned Devon Energy, they pay 9.8% dividend. They pay, many of these big oil companies pay huge dividends. Even if they don't go up in price, man, you can collect dividends forever, really good, strong dividends. Devon Energy is one of the ones I like a lot. Return on equity is 39%. They don't have a lot of debt. They have great cash flow. You know, earnings per share is strong and always has been pretty strong, except for 2020, you know, with the COVID year. But, do you buy them now? Again, same argument. Do you be a little patient for the summer? I think you might be a little bit patient. You could buy some now, but I wouldn't buy a whole position right at this point. So appreciate the call. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. No, that was Inrish. Thank you, Inrish. I'm Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk. You want to grow your wealth, right? Everybody wants to grow their wealth. Well, that's great. But, of course, you make your investment choices. There will be always be fear that you're going to make a mistake. There always will be. So that's why we do this show, to make you more aware of the risks that you're taking. And because remember, there's only two emotions, fear and greed. Now, what's your risk that you're taking? Well, my advice is dealing with this reality is to define what your comfort zone is. What level of risk do you want to be? And it's hard to do that, but we do have a free online tool for you to do that if you want. It's called Riskalyze. It's a risk questionnaire, very short, and it will give you a score, a risk score. And it kind of gives you what your risk tolerance of the market is. The risk tolerance, the S&P 500 is around 80 on that risk, Riskalyze risk score. So if you want to be fully market risk, if you knew your portfolio should be about an 80. And your score for your personal risk tolerance should be about 80. So it should all match up. If it's less, you should all match that up too. So it's just a good way to try to determine where you are, really. And just go to investtalk.com. You'll see it. Take the Riskalyze questionnaire. Okay? I'm ready to take your questions. Number's always the same. Never changes. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Now, oil is down $95 to $95 a barrel. So it's down pretty big today. And OPEC does not have excess capacity to, you know, Biden is there today, tasking them to pump more oil. But the studies I've seen show that they're pretty much at maximum. You know, Saudi Arabia and all those countries in the Middle East, they're pumping as much as they can at this point. Why wouldn't they? And get a pretty good price for it. Okay. The problem is, as I mentioned earlier, is demand. We, the United States, our citizens, the consumers, still will pay top dollar for gasoline at the pump. There was really no slowdown when gasoline here in California, $6 a barrel, $6 a gallon, and the rest of the country, $4.50, $5. We didn't slow down our spending, didn't slow down our gasoline purchases, and now they come off. I think gasoline prices have fallen like 20, 30 days in a row, penny at a time, of course. And demand's still very, very high. And this is a very high demand part of the year, summer. So, you know, the Fed is trying to kind of destroy that demand by raising interest rates, so to slow down the economy, and that's the whole effort. You got to realize that's what the Fed is doing, and when it raises interest rates, it affects different parts of the market, especially the real estate market. So be aware. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom. Same goal we've had for years and years and years and years, well over two decades. And our work will continue after this break. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced? Or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dave in San Diego. And I wanted to run a company by you and see what you thought. It's Garmin, symbol GRMN, a Swiss GPS and aviation company. It's down 43% from its high, now at 104. Earnings growth looks pretty good, 10 to 15% consistent. PE is 18. Revenue also grows about 10 to 15%. The dividend is strong at 3% yield, and it grows every year, maybe about 8%. Anyway, I thought I'd see what you had to say about it and hopefully catch you later on the show. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Garmin Limited, GRMN manufactures and markets handheld portable fixed mount GPS systems for automotives and outdoor marine and fitness kind of thing. I've been around a while. They're going to make $5.94 this year, then $6.61 next year. It's $101.75 stock, so $102 we'll call it, and it was at $160 plus, as you mentioned. So it's come down pretty strong. Is it cheap? No, I think it's at fair value of myself right now. It's going to make $6.61, so that makes it, what, a 15, 16 P.E.? Five-year range is 13 to 30, so it's near the lower of the range, has good return on equity, 19%, and 2.9% dividend. So, I will say you, I think the sales are weaker than you have. I think they're sub 10%. Most recent quarter was 9%. The quarter before that was 3%. The quarter before that was 7%. So, if you're looking at the annual sales, because the quarter before that, which would have been four quarters, was 53% growth. So, now it's only grown 9%. So, I think going forward, you're going to have to use a smaller sales growth projection. Therefore, that makes it, in my mind, fairly valued where it is, about $100. I'd rather see you pick it up less than that, you know, maybe $85, $90 per share. But it's a good, solid company. It just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't, it's solid, but not my cup of tea for some reason. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Now, will inflation stick around? According to Pepsi CEO, he thinks it is, and he has something to blame. He specifically says the reason is, across the board, commodity prices are going to stay high, and they're pushing. Remember, commodities are what at the front end of the supply of manufacturing of most finished products, right? Because, and if you're not talking about tech, which is, but if you're talking about aluminum cans for to make Pepsi or packaging and the food that goes into the package, you know, commodities are the base material you start with. And if those prices go up, it, you know, ripples through the rest of the manufacturing process. And of course, being Pepsi, which, you know, is one of the largest snack food manufacturers in the country, besides our drinks, you know, he would have his hands on, he would have his thumb on the pulse, I would think, but he thinks commodity prices are going to stay high, and therefore inflation is going to stick around. It's not going to, you know, I think the same thing, and I'm not trying to find people who agree with me, because I like to listen to both sides, but I think commodity prices are probably going to stay on the high side. Yeah, oil will go up and down, I think, you know, I think it'll go below $100 a barrel, and it's 95 today, but I don't see it going to 60, as some experts say. But I also see it going to higher eventually, maybe in a year or two, higher than it was recently. I think it's going to go up, not down. And my reasoning is more, and remember, oil is really a pusher of inflation, or deflation for that matter, you know, depending on the price. You know, Chevron, Exxon, Devon, all those energy companies, they've cut way back on their capital expenditure starting about 2 years ago because everybody hates oil. And they reduced their expenses and expenditure to look for new oil. And we're paying the price for that now. That's what it is. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Dustin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please, if you do download us from iTunes, please give us a review. I really would appreciate that. Remember, a positive rating raises our profile, and that helps us. And that eventually helps you because it keeps us on the air. Okay? Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.